So welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming this afternoon. We were just commenting it's sometimes a little difficult in the afternoon to kind of keep ourselves awake and motivated and moving along. But hopefully this afternoon we'll have a little bit of fun talking about self-care for the ministry leader. We're just want to, you know, realizing that there's so much going on in our lives and in our worlds. I want to just take a couple of minutes for us to pray. And this is the messy minister's office prayer. How many of you have a minister who has a messy office? All right. Most of the room. My office looked about 10 times worse than this picture, but I do believe I had some sort of blow-up animal like this alligator or bear or something in my office at one point. Actually, I think I had a blow-up pirate in my office at one point. We were digging up our buried treasure on that one. But let's just take a moment and think about those things that are on our desk back at home, back at the office. Let's just take a moment and really think about some of those things. Those things that are just kind of piling up that we know we got to get back to. And just take a moment and think about those things. The task list. The social media updates. The promotional flyers. There's things that are sitting on the desk. There's things that are just not getting done because you're here. Imagine yourself taking that pile of stuff, that task list, that to-do pile, that pile of all the papers that you're going to get to at some point, pick them all up, scoop them all up in your arms, and there's going to be this bin that you didn't realize was underneath all those papers, an inbox. A large inbox, an inbox that will be able to take care of all of those things that you've got in your arms. And dump them in the inbox. And you notice on there that the inbox does not have your name on it. That inbox says Jesus. Our brother Jesus, his inbox. Putting your items into Jesus' inbox, because you know what? Though you are here, those projects are getting worked on. He is working on them. The Spirit is moving in these projects. And things are, in fact, happening. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you calm us today and allow us to know full well in every fiber of our being that these tasks, these items, these projects are being worked on by you, by the Holy Spirit, by God, our Father. It is happening. It is in the process of getting done. Dear God, our Father, dear Jesus, our brother, Spirit, infuse in us the peace to know that we are exactly where we are supposed to be, right here and right now. We have given you those things that were worrying us. They are no longer ours. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to do that, to give these items off to you. We thank you for being here today in this community of young adults, of leaders. Be with us, infuse with us the Spirit, and allow us to move forward. We ask all of this in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Messy spirituality. Man, it happens. Oop. Wrong way.
So what brings you to today's workshop? I just want to know why you're here, because that's going to really help me to know whether I kind of have worked this right. And I want to make sure you walk out with information that you're looking for. So what
brings you to this workshop today on self-care for ministry leaders? Self-care, what brings you here?
Sometimes I'm so busy doing church that my spiritual life suffers.
Yeah, busy doing church, not being church. Being present, gotcha. Yeah, why else? Yeah, oh, yes. Yes. That balance. Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about burnout. Absolutely. Being fully present. Yeah, what else? What else brings you here? Yeah.
Well, I spent 19 years in youth ministry and just took over campus ministry, so it's like a whole new world, so I figured maybe this can help me.
Yeah, are you doing both and, or?
No.
Okay, so it's a transition from one to the other. So campus ministry, all right. Yeah, it is different. Are you at a commuter college or Arkansas State? Okay, so you're in residence, great, okay.
Yeah, we have a full parish.
Oh my gosh, okay, great, a full parish out there.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
I'm a student.
Mm-hmm.
So campus ministry is an important part of your life, as is studies, and what other activities are you involved in?
Music. I'm in like choirs and things,
yeah.
And I have another work study, and too many things.
Okay.
All
right.
So how do we balance all of those things? Yeah, sure. Sure. Yes.
Amen. Realizing is that there will always be need, and most of the people who tend to get into ministry are very generous people.
Yes.
And so the tendency can be to give,
mm-hmm.
and not have any kind of balance in other areas that we've talked about this a little bit, the other areas of the life. So recognizing what you can reasonably do,
mm-hmm.
versus what sort of, you can't be Superman.
So
we
try.
We try.
But you're right, we can't be Superman.
Also,
yeah. You want to be Batman?
Yeah,
he's got the gadgets.
Yeah, chemistry's often done at night, so Batman might be more fun.
Yeah. Okay. All right, any other thoughts? Yeah.
I was really thinking along the same lines as him, and just finding that balance, because you're right, we do so much in the evenings. But I work at a Catholic school, and I'm also required to be there during the day. So a lot of times I arrive at 9 and I leave at 10 or so. So it's like somehow, and this is year 6 for me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm getting to that burnout stage.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah. So so what did you say? 9 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yeah. Some days of the week. That's,
yeah.
That's what it is. So.
Yeah. That's a lot going on there.
So.
All right. Any other thoughts?
No? I'm here for the same reason a lot of other people have said.
Okay.
And, you know, as a leader, feeling the burnout versus balancing everything out.
Yeah. Okay.
Better ways to overcome that.
Yeah.
For me, it's more of a refresher. I always keep my mind on self-care.
Yeah.
If I don't, continue to keep my mind on it. So.
Yeah. Exactly. And some of the things that we may talk about, you may already know. But guess what? You need to hear it today. All right? So, I'm going to show you a video clip to ground us in how we're going to move forward in this conversation, okay? So the video is a promo video for the movie Inside Out. Have you, how many of you have seen it? Yeah, okay. Okay, we're gonna shift into the perspective of this. I don't think that there will be spoilers if you wanna go see it, but this will help us to take a look at ourselves and the world around us in a specific and a light that will help us to have this conversation a little bit more. When I first saw this movie, I was not as emotionally invested in it as I have some previous Pixar movies. I wasn't, you know, off the floor rocking, laughing. I wasn't, you know, sobbing or, you know, tearing up. But what fascinates me about this movie is the conversations that I had with my husband on the way home, and talking to each other about who's sitting at the console the most. So what we see here is five of our basic emotions. Now, there are some schools of thought that say that there are six basic emotions, and surprise would be one of them. But there are other schools of thought that think that there are only four emotions. So surprise and fear would be together, and I think disgust and anger would be together. I think that's how they lump them. But this movie, they specifically picked up on these five. So it's kind of like in between the four and the six. So just so that you know, surprise is sometimes considered another emotion. And these are the basics. So this is the base of what others kind of come from. And what I enjoy about having this movie in my arsenal is I can look at coworkers and my spouse and friends and family and see who's at the console, which allows me to be able to have a conversation with them a bit more deeply, knowing who's there. it was also humbling for me to know who is regularly at my console. The one in the middle there, disgust, is regularly at my console. And I am disgusted by that. I'm just kidding. It opened up the world to me, like, really, people? Disgust? But, you know, she really does kind of connect me with the outside world, and that's not a bad thing. And what this movie shows is no matter who's at the console, it's not really a bad thing. They all have their time. They all have their place. What becomes important is when one of the or two of these emotions is not felt or not allowed to be felt, or we are so busy that we don't necessarily know who's at the helm. Okay? So it's important for us to kind of be aware of those things. So we want to allow the non-dominant emotions to be able to be there, to have their time. And we want to be aware that, you know, well, if fear is there, what is driving that? What is there? You know, can you guys relate to this imagery here? Yeah? Yeah, okay, great. So, anybody want to share who's at your helm? Yeah? No? That's all right. We're going to move on to the next.
But the really important ones are over here. I don't want to get too technical, but these are called core memories. Each one came from a super important time in Riley's life. Like when she first scored a goal. Oh, that was so amazing. Memory powers a different aspect of Riley's personality. Like Hockey Island. Goofball Island is my personal favorite.
Come back here, you little monkey!
Yep, Goofball is the best.
Sorry, the audio is a little quiet. Each memory, it's a core memory, a very important memory, fuels a specific area of one's personality. And that's where we get Goofball Island and Hockey Island and Family Island. What are your islands? Your islands are key because they make up your personality. What are the important parts, memories, that are part of your life? What are those things that make up your personality? It's really important for you guys to kind of think about this. Because what does burnout look like or feel like? Let's talk about that a moment. What is burnout? Yeah.
You don't have the energy to be yourself.
You don't have your energy to be yourself. Mm-hmm. No energy to be on Goofball Island. What else? Oh, what you did is interfering with who you want to be. Yeah. What else?
I think for me it's lack of tolerance. Mm. Little things start to really bug the hell out of me that ordinarily wouldn't.
Yeah. It goes from disgust to anger really fast. Yeah. What else does it look like? What does it feel like?
Things that used to bring you joy just don't.
Burnout's not necessarily anger. I mean, I know I put him up on the slide there. He's funny looking. You know, burnout could look like sadness. Burnout could look like disgust. Yeah. Any other thoughts? What does it feel like?
Exhaustion.
what?
I think in ministry, for me, it's the guilt of it's twofold.
Okay.
The people I'm letting down.
Okay.
Okay, the people
mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be ministering to.
Yep.
I think that's probably the biggest component. But then, you know, just to be the best version of myself, to do the job that I'm supposed to do to the best of my ability,
mm-hmm.
and I'm feeling guilty that I'm not.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Burnout is a state of chronic stress and frustration that leads to physical and emotional exhaustion, feelings of cynicism and detachment, and together these symptoms lead to an inability to successfully function on a personal and professional level. This is taken from Psychology Today, May 2012, article called Where Do You Fall in the Burnout Continuum? Physical and emotional exhaustion, y'all said that. You know, cynicism and detachment. So some of the signs associated with that are the loss of enjoyment. Cindy said that over here. Pessimism. I get very pessimistic. I mean, when I start getting pessimistic, I know that something I need to pay attention. Yeah. Isolation and detachment. Isolation and detachment are the hardest ones for me personally to have dealt with in the past. Because I feel like nobody else knows what I'm going through. Nobody else cares. This doesn't mean, nobody wants to listen to me moan about what's going on. Nobody cares. So I'm just going to sit back here and do my thing. I'm just going to get up in the morning. I'm going to go to work. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. And the kids are going to be fine. And detaching from that support system that really is there to assist and to help and to aid, because thinking that those people aren't going to understand or care. Isolation and detachment. How do you see this manifesting in your lives? Do you see any of this popping up? Or in others' lives? Let's put it there.
For me, the one that really stuck out was in the previous definition, chronic stress.
Mm.
So are you taking your job home with you?
Mm. Chronic stress, taking your job home with you. Mm-hmm. Anything else bubble up for you guys on this one? Yeah.
Going along with that, seeing not necessarily a big knockdown, but a blurring of boundaries.
Ooh, a blurring of boundaries. In what manner?
So, like, the people who we minister to generally like us, right?
And generally.
So, generally speaking.
Yes.
And so, when you begin to seek personal needs, seek to fulfill whatever personal needs you have, could be like need for affirmation,
yeah.
For example.
Okay.
Like that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like all people need that, but
yes.
You shouldn't be seeking it from the people who you're ministering to. You should be seeking it from like real friendships,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Relationships in your life. You start to see that, oh, like I'm doing this and I'm being motivated by my desire for affirmation, whatever it is for you,
okay,
or for someone,
mm-hmm.
That's a blurring of a boundary.
Okay, sure. It's key to know what the boundaries are,
yeah.
To begin with.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden the boundary is broken,
yeah.
If we're not careful. I totally understand that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Anything else? Thoughts? Yeah, so the image that I have here is of Riley, this little girl whose life we're observing from the inside of her mind. She's transitioning from an old school to a new school. So this is her first day at a new school.
And she's, you know, what every teacher does, get up and introduce yourself, tell us something about you. And the teacher, you know, asks her a couple of questions. And inside her mind, there's a struggle that's going on between sadness and joy. Joy really wants this to be a good memory and to be a really good day for Riley. Joy is just out to make Riley's life just the best ever. And sadness is like, well, yeah, but there's something else going on here too. So inside she's starting to struggle. And the two of them get into a struggle, and some of her Riley's core memories, those little balls that we saw at the beginning that make up her personality, and these little islands of her personality, and they get sucked up into, let's just say, the garbage. And sadness and joy go with them, and joy is trying to save Riley's personality. Now we have two emotions that are no longer in the console to be there for Riley in what her needs are. So here's where we see that struggle, and then the detachment begins. She feels isolated. And she feels detached from what's going on. There are certain signs that are associated with a sense of ineffectiveness. When we went back to that slide on fear, ineffective, and lack of accomplishment. This is also key in kind of seeing the signs of burnout. You know, that feeling of apathy, helplessness, hopelessness, increased irritability, lack of productivity, and poor performance. Okay, when we start to see some of these creep in, we want to kind of pay attention. These are things that we like to kind of glaze over because they're not always fun. You know, but these are things that we kind of want to pay attention to a little bit. So let's ask right now, how are you feeling physically? Think about that a moment. What's going on? Where are you? What do your feet feel like? What do your knees feel like? What does your head feel like? Who's sitting at the console? What are you feeling? My knees hurt. That's why I brought it up. My knees hurt. I got my sneakers on because my feet hurt. You know? I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I didn't get to lunch today, so I'm hungry. I'm hoping I don't get to hangry at the end of this. You know? That's the way I'm physically feeling. How often do we sit and realize how we are physically feeling throughout the day? I regularly go to bed, hit the pillow, and I'm done. There's no hemming and hawing about falling asleep. I'm regularly just done at the end of my day. If I can pay attention throughout my day how I'm physically feeling, I can make sure that I put into place some things to help me get through the night, to the night, without being just emotionally, physically drained. You know what I mean? So paying attention to some of that. How does it feel to have your feet on the floor and sitting in this chair and looking forward? And is the room cold? My hands are cold too. I don't know if you guys are cold, but my hands are very cold right now. That's important to know. Sometimes we get so busy, we're not paying attention to what's going on. And then who's sitting at the console right now? Yeah, probably Joy right now. Yeah. Joy's sitting at the console. She wants to make it all right. She's feeding off of your energy. She is. I mean, she is. She's feeding off of your energy.
I'm not offering you much.
What's that?
I feel like I'm not offering you much.
Oh, no. You have no idea. You guys are offering a lot. No, this is great. So that's just it, really paying attention. I mean, you're feeling that there's not a lot of energy in the room. I'm feeling that, you know, yeah, it's the middle of the afternoon and you guys are ready for dinner. I know, dinner's coming after this. I get it, you know? When we're aware of that, though, then we can start to see, you know, how we want to move forward, too, okay? So being aware is very key. You know, slide says awareness is key. Awareness of what is at the very present, right now, what is. Awareness of our values, okay? Those personality islands are our values. Riley values her family. You know, Riley values hockey. She values fun and silliness. These are things that make her who she is. What are your values? What are those things, those emotions, those memories, those core things that make you who you are? Take some time to think about that. We don't have time to really dig into that part today, but that's going to be key for some of the other things we do, because your core values, your underlying automatic commitments will either get you to where you want to be or refocus you by not moving you forward in the way you quote unquote would want to go, because it's not a value. Your values are key. So with this background in mind, with this inside out in mind, we're going to move forward and look at something we can do about some of these things. Okay? So we're going to talk about bringing balance to the force that is within us. And I don't know if you can see back there, but that's Darth Vader and disgust up on that. I think it's really disgust in Darth Vader. How many days till Star Wars? Too many. I agree. All right, breathing is basic. But let me tell you what. We are a world of shallow breathers. We forget to breathe or breathe deep. Our brain says, yes, you need to breathe, so we're going to make sure that you're breathing. But we're not necessarily breathing to thrive. And so breathing is one of the first things that I want to talk to you about as far as bringing balance to the force of nature that is you. Okay? So let's do a little breather. We're going to do what's called block breath. So we're going to breathe in for four. We're going to hold for four. We're going to breathe out for four. We're going to hold for four. Okay? Think about how you're feeling right at this moment. How are you feeling? Hold on to that, okay? And let's breathe in. Breathe in. Hold. Breathe out. Hold. Let's do that again. Breathe in. Hold. Breathe out. Hold. All right, how do you feel? Different? Am I getting some difference, maybe? Head nods? Yeah. It's different. Our body needs that additional oxygen to run through our blood. And we get so busy that sometimes we're just shallow breathing. We are just getting by. And God doesn't want us to just get by. I don't know if you can see these ladies. This just hit my Facebook page like just this last week. Can you see these ladies? They're like on a roller coaster. So you got these front two who are just in a fit of giggles. Just a fit of giggles. And then these ladies up here in the third row here, they're like, they can't be bothered by the world. Nothing is happening. The ride's not even moving. They're just sour pusses up there. So you can live in the front row giggling like crazy, you can live in the third row and not have any fun at all. Laughter is key. Laughter is breathing. Laughter, really, short-term effects of laughter stimulates the heart, the lungs, the muscles, increases endorphins,
activates and relieves your stress responses, soothes tensions. Laughter is medicine. You know, the Mayo Clinic, all of these places are really bringing forth the need for us to laugh. We get so involved in our world that we forget to kind of pay attention to, there's some really funny things out there. There are really funny things in our world. God has a huge sense of humor. This is short-term effects. Have you ever had a belly laugh where your stomach just hurts? It hurts so bad, I'm crying. I'm laughing so hard, I'm crying. Yeah, I don't get that enough. I need to work on that. Long-term effects, improves the immune system, relieves pain, increases personal satisfaction, and improves mood. How can you find ways in your ministry, in your life, to increase laughter? It's stupid, but I watch babies laughing. I watch babies laughing. I watch puppy dog videos. You know, they make me laugh. You know what? Cats don't make me laugh as much. I'm always afraid that the cat's going to attack me or something. You know, cats, you know, but whatever it is that can help make you laugh, you know, what is the joke? What is it that you find humorous? Sometimes we just laugh, unconsciously laugh, but next time you laugh, really figure out what is it that you're laughing about? You know, the situation, the friends, the what is it? And then how do you feel when you are laughing? How do you feel after the laugh? Find those movies that make you laugh and have them readily available. The other thing that we can do is to be active. And Timon this morning was talking about, you guys, were you at Timon's thing this morning? So she was talking about, you know, God's answering her prayers, but first she has to eat healthy, walk, and rest, right? Well, yeah, that's probably for all of us. We could probably be doing a lot of that a little bit better, more regularly. Walking. It can be slower than a herd of turtles through molasses in January, but walk. Get out there and move. I actually have a pedometer that I use. Let's see where I am. 4,985. Not bad. It's actually a lot for a quote-unquote normal day for me. Our goal, something that helps keep us healthy, is 10,000 steps. I don't get that anymore. I used to. I don't get that on a regular basis. But what I can do to increase that is instead of using the restroom that's 10 feet from my office, I can go down the stairs to my colleague's office space and walk through their office space to the other bathroom at the other end of the building. I can get some extra steps in that way, right? It doesn't take that much time out of my day, but I can get extra steps and extra floors on the stairs, right? Moving is not, just move. It doesn't have to necessarily be something that gets you out of breath. Moving is very key. I was working from home for a number of months, and I would get barely 2,000 steps in my day. Those 2,000 steps were because I used the bathroom on the second floor and to come back down. You know, I would force myself to walk down to the end of the block and back on my lunch break. But now that I'm out and about and I work out of the home, my steps are up closer to that 4,000 to 5,000. You know, so when I take public transit, it's way up and above that, which is really great. And then, you know, so it doesn't really matter how much, how far you go, but take what you're doing and increase it just a little bit more. It can be very, very helpful. You know, Mayo Clinic states that walking 30 minutes three times a week can reduce your stress and certain health risks or health issues, related issues. You know, be wise. Talk to your doctor before you go out and start running or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we got to move. You know, talk to your doctor about things. But get up and move. And that could be 10-minute walks.
Okay, so I have my phone that goes off at 3 o'clock every afternoon to remind me to get up off my butt. Because if not, I will be sitting around at my computer doing my job for 4 hours straight in the afternoon. But I have it go off at 3 o'clock to remind me to get up and move, whether that is to the bathroom, you know, or outside and walk up and down the street for a couple of minutes. You know, 10 minutes three times a day is huge, you know? Go out on your lunch break. Walk around. Take the long way to class. You know, I know sometimes in the wintertime we don't like that. So move faster. Move faster. We can do that. Just move. Walking can help maintain a healthy weight, prevent or manage heart disease, high blood pressure, and type 2 diabetes. It can help with all of these things that are so common in our American society. Moving a little extra every day, every week. You know, when my husband and I moved out to Washington, D.C., one of the things that we love doing on the weekends is going for hikes. There are amazing national parks out in the Washington, D.C. area, and we hike. We hike the Appalachian Trail. I mean, that's like the coolest thing in the world. You know, we go up and down these mountains. We've got walking sticks, you know, so that we don't, like, slide down the side of the mountain. You know, we are trying to find other ways for us to keep moving, and we do that a lot on the weekends. So on the weekends, I'll regularly get that 10, 12, 15,000 steps, you know, because we were out and about. D.C. is a very easy city to get a lot of steps in. Find that thing in your area that you enjoy doing, right? What is that in your personality that you enjoy doing? Riley likes hockey. That's where she gets a lot of her exercise and enjoyment from. What is that thing for you? For me, it's outdoors and walking. I tried jogging and running. I couldn't do it. My value is not about running. My value is having a conversation with my husband on a trail out in nature. Not running. Not running on a track, because I can't talk and run at the same time. Walk and talks are very important to me. You know? You know what a walk and talk is, right? West Wingers out there? Yeah, we do go on a walk and talk quite regularly. We walk the parking lot of our apartment complex, and we have just brilliant conversations. They're just wonderful. So go for a walk and talk. You know? That community that you enjoy being with, who are your people? Who's your tribe? A different tribe member every day to go out for a walk with keeps it interesting, keeps it moving. Walking can help strengthen bones, improve balance and coordination, and lift mood. If you're sitting at your computer and, you know, you're kind of getting a little spacey, or your eyes are glazing over, or whatever it is, get up. You might not want to, but get up. Find a way to get yourself out of that space. Because it's going to, you know, help you to refocus when you come back to where you are, to refocus. We have some really fun, great prayers in our faith that are walking prayers. I don't know if you're aware of this. One of my favorite walking prayers is Prayer Labyrinth. And it's usually in the shape of a circle, and there's a center point. But unlike a maze, where you just kind of keep going, you have to go back the way you came. And there are lots of switchbacks. So you walk in with all of these things that are on your shoulders and you're thinking about, and all these struggles and whatever it is, and you come to the center and you leave them there. And you walk yourself out, and it's a stress release, not only because of the walking, but because of the prayer format. You know? Anybody ever do a walking rosary? Yeah, walking rosaries are fun. You know, because you kind of keep moving, but you got this mantra going and this beautiful prayer going, and you're breathing. You're breathing in the air that's outside, and you just kind of keep walking and moving. What other things do we have in our faith?
that are moving prayers. Stations of the Cross. Stations of the Cross are great. Yeah. Yeah. Walking from station to station. Maybe not a walking prayer, but definitely a breathing prayer as adoration. Music. Music is a great prayer. Great breathing prayer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Come have breakfast with me, Jesus says. This picture is of after the resurrection. They're out fishing, and Jesus is on the beach and he's cooking some fish. And they look at the shore and they say, "Wait, what? Is that a ghost? Looks like Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus." And he invites them to come have breakfast with me, and that's in John, the Gospel of John 21:12. Come, have breakfast with me. Eating is part of this balance. You have to eat. Eating too few calories is just as detrimental to your system and to this beautiful creation that God made as eating too many calories. I worked for Jenny Craig for about 2 years. And one of the biggest issues I had with people was that they stopped eating enough. They would skip meals and they didn't have enough calories in their system. I saw a number of people who would just skip a meal. Well, okay, let's say you're busy. Like today, busy. Lunch, I didn't get to lunch today. But I still need those calories in my day. So I will eat my lunch and my dinner together. Because my body needs those calories so that it continues to be to move and to give energy. Okay, so you need to have as many calories, you know, and you can talk to your doctor about what's right for you, because 12,000 calories, 15,000, you know, 100 calories. That's because that's a lot of calories, right? 1,500 calories. 1,800 calories, 2,000 calories. You know, it depends on what's right for you, and it's not the same across the board. You know, it could be 12,500 calories. No, did I say that right? 1,200, whatever. I obviously need my lunch.
Where's my cookie?
I obviously need my lunch.
She needs her 18,000 calories.
Yeah, right.
I need my 18,000 calories.
You see that cake? I'm going to eat the whole thing.
Okay, so eat chocolate. Not this chocolate, the little girl eating the whole cake. Eat chocolate. Seriously, chocolate is actually not bad for you. And this is something that we have to be careful of, this bad, good kind of terminology. Because we need all of these things that make us us. We need all of the emotions. We need all of these things. Chocolate is actually quite good for us. If we have two little Hershey's Kisses, it's actually quite good for us. And it helps us to, chocolate stimulates mood-enhancing brain chemicals like serotonin. Just two Hershey Kisses will do the trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's tough when you get that whole bag.
Like,
I know.
Every 10 minutes, I mean, I'm just wondering here. You know, like, when can I just be like, I'm doing myself some good?
Pretty sure you know the answer to that one.
Let's grab it in the bag.
You know, now they make really big Hershey's.
They do. I know that size too, but no, that's not what we're talking about.
I thought it was supposed to scale. So.
It's.
You guys are so fun. I love it.
No, but seriously, we have to be careful of the good and the bad, because we want a balance, right? And chocolate really does help us in our brain structure. It really does help us. And you know what? The darker the chocolate, the better. I'm not a dark chocolate fan. I definitely love my milk chocolate. But you know what? I'll take a purple Hershey Kiss.
Yeah, that does help. It does help shift. It's a shift in perspective. It's a shift in mood. It takes us from one place and shifts us into the next, where we want to be, where we want to get to. It kind of kicks it up a notch, right? So we want to kind of pay attention to that. You know, when we're eating, you know, let's take a look at what we're eating. Let's be aware of what it is that we're putting into our system. Processed food over whole food. Okay, processed food is very easy to get our hands on. It's very easy to make. It's very easy to eat, and it's usually kind of yummy because it's got a lot of salt in it, and I love salt. However, and occasionally, you know, but what we want to pay attention to is then how much whole foods are we getting into our systems, you know, to counter some of that, to bring into our system some of those good, nourishing things, those things that help us to be who God has created us to be. You know, we are the temple of the Lord. We are made in his image and likeness. How are we treating the temple? Okay, not good some days, most days. I mean, let's face it, not good. I realize I'm talking about self-care, and I haven't had lunch, and I, you know, am a number of pounds overweight. I get it. We need to be aware. And one of the best things about putting this together was it raised my awareness and reminded me of things that I needed to pay attention to. I wasn't paying attention to how I felt physically. I need to go to the doctor, is what I paid attention to, all right? My body's saying, you need to get this checked out, you know? My body is saying, you definitely need more rest. You need to pay attention to that, you know? So putting this together, lots of reality and awareness is really kind of kicked up. So this is really about raising awareness. So whatever is coming to your mind, God is asking you to pay attention to that. Okay? And you have the ability to figure out where to take that to the next level and to the next step. So being aware of what we eat, how we eat, when we eat. You know, you wanna have something in your system every 3 to 4 hours, to be honest. I know, it sounds like a lot. Little meals every 3 to 4 hours keeps your metabolism going, keeps your energy going. You know, keeps your brain function working. And then on the other flip side of that is when we're hungry, sometimes it's our body saying you're thirsty. You know, we have water at our fingertips in this country. And we are probably one of the most dehydrated countries out there. Yeah, get your water. Get your water, people listening. Get your water. You know? We have the ability to drink water and we drink everything else. Grab your water bottle. I got my water bottle. I try and drink 2 of these while I'm at work and then another 2 at home. Some schools of thought say take your body weight, cut it in half. That's how many ounces of water you should have a day. I'm drinking a whole lot of water. You know? But your body tells you when you're dehydrated. You have a headache? Drink some water. You hungry? Start with some water. Your body is giving you signals. We don't always know what they are. We're not listening to the signals. Timon was talking about, you know, sometimes we have to listen to what God is telling us. Well, he's talking to us through our body and through some of the aches and pains and some of the twinges and some of the feelings that we have going on there. So pay attention to it. Think about it. Okay, what is it that I'm actually feeling and where does this stem from? Now here's the question of the ages. As church workers, how do we take Sabbath? When we work on Sundays, when we work on Saturday nights, when we have meetings during the week, how do we take Sabbath? What are some ways that you take Sabbath? You wish what?
I have recent examples.
You wish you had recent examples? It doesn't have to be a recent example.
I take a couple hours every afternoon.
Do you?
Just for myself.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, guard that day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've started, this past year, I started going home for lunch, and it's just a short time, but that hour is my hour, and before it was still on campus and the students would be there, but now it's like a rejuvenating time for me.
Nice, going home. It's nice that you have the ability to do that. That's great. That's great. What else? How do you take Sabbath? Couple of hours a day. Yeah, when I was working in parish ministry, my husband and I are both in ministry, and when we first started, it was great. We both had off on Fridays. I miss my Fridays. I really do. We'd go to the movies first thing in the morning, first showing. It'd just be us. It was awesome. Saw some of the best movies that way. You know, nobody else in the theater, just us. You know, now that I work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, it's kind of difficult to find some of that. Working in the parish, everybody knows you have the key to whatever it is. So sometimes it's difficult to worship at the place where you minister. You know, when I was working at the parish, I actually would go to Mass at a different parish. So I would work at one parish, but I was parishioners at another. That worked for me and my husband. That worked for us very well. We were able to worship together and be fed. Guarding your day. I love that. You guard your afternoon, you guard your day. Block it off, schedule it off. If it's in the calendar, do it. For me, if it's not in the calendar, I don't do it. I don't know about anybody else, but Google Calendars, that's the way I go. Because it reminds me, and I have reminders. My 3 o'clock in the afternoon reminder, get up off my butt, get out and move. You know, I don't want to consider that specifically my Sabbath, but that is my healthful walk. You know? Something to consider for those of you who work 7 days a week in some format or another, whether it's taking classes or it's work study or a job or ministry. If you're working 7 days and there's no way for you to have that one day, first of all, talk to somebody about getting that one day. A boss, school administrator, how can you rework your schedule to get that one day? It's going to be important for you to have that. To do laundry, you know, to take care of stuff that needs to get done. That is also important because when bills don't get paid, the stress adds up and it tends to carry over. So having those times to do that. Something for you to consider is, you know, on a weekend when you have a quote-unquote weekend, you've got 2 mornings, you got 2 afternoons, and you got 2 evenings, right? Space those out. So find 2 mornings in your week that are your mornings. Find 2 afternoons in your week. You know, 3 or 4 hours that are yours. That's your Sabbath, your weekend. Find 2 evenings. And in amongst that, one of those times, do something that is mentally stimulating for you, that you just love mentally to do. This feeds my brain, my intellect. Something physical, whether that's going to the gym or hiking the Appalachian Trail or walking through the mall, whatever it is. And one of those times to work on your spirituality, to connect with God. So you got 2 mornings, 2 afternoons, 2 nights. 1 mental, 1 physical, 1 spiritual. When we skip our time off, it increases our blood pressure or has risks of high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, many more things if we don't take our time off, if we don't take our Sabbath. This builds. What are some of the roadblocks for you for taking time off? for not taking time off.
Mm-hmm. For me, when I get back, it's 10 times faster. Everything's hitting me nonstop, so it's almost like when I go away, when I come back, it's
an avalanche. Okay. Okay, so instead of taking the time off, let's just keep with the status quo. All right.
I feel like the expectations of my work environment,
mm-hmm.
it's not something that's valued.
Oh.
Maybe it's spoken about, like, oh, yeah, yeah, do it, but, like, the actual lived experience of that is not, doesn't measure up to what is spoken.
Yeah, I think I've worked there before.
Great, we talked about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I think I've worked at that job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on paper, but... not valued. Right.
It can also depend on the time of the year.
Hmm.
I mean, you can't take off in the middle of the semester if you're in school or a campus minister or a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm. Can't take off in the middle of things. All right. Mm-hmm. What else? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's nice to be needed, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to be needed, however. We have to be careful because that desire for being needed sometimes comes from a not good place. You know? Forget what Simone called it this morning. You know, the devil comes in those needs sometimes. You know, those quote unquote needs or wants. You know, you're not necessarily needed. It will be there when you get back. Sometimes it'll feel like an avalanche. You know, but here's the thing. CNN did a study in October of 2014 that found that U.S. workers forfeited $52.4 billion in time off benefits in 2013. And took less vacation time than at any point in the past four decades. American workers turned their backs on a total of 169 million days of paid time off. In effect, providing free labor for their employers at an average of $504 per employee. It's a ministry, it's a way of life. True, but you have value. And the value of your time off is important. People are giving away their vacation time. $504 per employee because the culture tells them that they cannot take that time off. You have value, you have dignity. It's your time. You can choose to not take the time off. However, every choice has certain reactions. Okay? First 7 years of my marriage, my husband and I did not take time off. We did not take a vacation. We gave that $504 to our parishes. We did not take that time off because we were needed. We were the only ones in the office. What if a teen needed me and was in some peril and needed me? There are other people out there that they can go to. What we wound up doing is we actually, we're Disney fans. I don't know if you can tell from, you know, the inside out kind of references here. We're Disney fans, and we actually bought into the Disney timeshare because we found that we had to go. Because if we didn't go, we were wasting the money that we were putting into it. So at the minimum, every 2 years, we had to go on a one-week vacation. Minimum. Minimum. And what we found with that is with this, you know, I kind of pay for it every month, so it's kind of there, you know, this thing. And what we found is now we're able to do more. Like, we'll take long weekends. So we'll take off on a Friday and a Monday. You know, so that'll be our vacation. But we've got this whole weekend, you know, that we can do stuff with. And we go down, and sometimes we go into the park, sometimes we don't. you know, we eat a lot, we walk a lot, we laugh a lot. Look at all these things that we're doing here, you know, and we refill and we rejuvenate. We knew we had to hold ourselves accountable, and the way this was the way we did that. We had to hold ourselves accountable to taking that rest and to take that vacation because we were getting unhealthy. We were not paying attention to ourselves. We were getting close to burnout at that time. So we really needed to pay attention to that. So back to our friends at Inside Out. So I'm curious to hear from you as we kind of wrap up our conversation here. What are you taking away from this conversation? What's bubbling up for you?
I would say personally, just to be myself a little bit more proactive, and especially in the health side of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not, you know, finding excuses, you know, like, I think you can get this done out of the way and then I'll get to this a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of really being proactive, put it on the calendar.
Yeah. Proactive with your health, put it on the calendar, make the appointment, call the doctor. What else? What are you guys taking away from this? Yeah.
I think my biggest thing is not to wait until they find help to do something about it, but you know, just know what could come.
Yeah. Yeah, don't wait. That's really good. That's really good. There are people out there that do care about you. You know, your mentors. Talk to them about what's bubbling up and what you're feeling. You know? Yeah. Don't wait. You don't need to wait.
You know, he's talking to you. Timon was saying, he's talking. Are we listening? Sometimes he talks through the aches and pains. Yeah.
The one thing that wasn't specifically mentioned, I think about is just because I work for the church, doesn't mean necessarily I always tell them that I'm the most spiritual.
There we go.
So that's a crucial part of self care, too.
That is a crucial part of self care.
Yeah. Yeah. We can see our faith in each of these four areas that we kind of touched on. You know, we talked about walking prayers, we talked about breathing prayers. You know, let's eat in community. And when we have a meeting where we have food, you know, does it always have to be pizza?
It's yummy, I know. I like pizza too.
Does it always have to be? You know? What are some other things that we can be sharing? Because here's the thing, too. You know, our students are looking to us and how we lead our lives because they want to learn how to do that, how to lead a balanced life, how to pay attention to our spirituality so that we don't burn out, how to get everything done. How do we do that? And they're looking to us. And no, we're not asked to be perfect, but are we working on it? What are we working on? So what are some of the structures that you would need to put into place for some of these things that you want to see happen? Or who do you need to bring in on this? Like Timon brought her husband Orlando in on her changes that she needed to make. You know, who do you need to bring in on this? I think I need to find a new mentor. I don't have one. Not saying I need to ditch one and get a new one. I need a mentor. I'm in a new place in life. I'm in a new job. I'm in a new surrounding with new friends. So I think I need a mentor to kind of walk me through some of this balance stuff. So I'm in this with y'all. I wish I could say I was totally balanced, but I am more aware now than I ever have been of what the imbalance is. So the bottom line for me is now it's a decision to be imbalanced. Now it's a decision that I've made to be unhealthy. Oh, whew.
So maybe ask the question too. Okay, so this work requires a lot of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so how much is you know, a road that can lead you to burnout just part of this how much is it the particular job environment? And I don't have an answer. I'm just using that question of like, when do you know this is just typical burnout and here's the things I can fix it, or this is too much and I need to move on?
Right, when it's a bad day or a bad week, as opposed to
a bad environment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And mentors and spiritual directors can really, really assist with that.
Yeah.
They really can assist with that. You know, and then when you realize that, it's a bad environment, now what do we do with it? You know, and sometimes, I mean, I was in a bad environment. I understand the concept of bad environment. I was in a bad environment for probably 2 semesters too many. You know? If I'd have realized it sooner, I might have been able to take action sooner, but it was so fast that I wasn't paying attention and there was no awareness, right? So again, it comes back to that a little bit. Being aware of how are we feeling when we're snapping at people, how often is that happening, what's going on, who's sitting at the helm? Oh, disgust.
I better love her.
Now that I know, I see her bubble up. You know? And then when do I need to allow other people to come to the helm?
Praise Alleluia Joy is here today.
Praise Alleluia Joy is here today. And you know, the bottom line, guys, we do have demanding jobs. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, they can be very, very draining. The bottom line is, guys, you can do it. You can do your job, be a minister for Christ, you can connect with the young adults you work with, and you can be healthy and happy. It is possible. We need to be intentional. When we are intentional, we can kind of see what's going on around. And you guys can do it. It is fully possible. Take what you are taking away from here and the things that you're learning, the things that are bubbling up, and don't leave them here in Indianapolis. Don't leave them here in this room. Today, before you go to bed, take 3 actions. Whatever they are, whatever's bubbling up for you, 3 actions. Put it in your calendar. You know, find the phone number of the person you need to call, or Facebook, or whatever it is you need nowadays to contact people. You know? Talk to somebody here about being your mentor. 3 things today. 3 things, doesn't have to be a lot. 3 things. Take some deep breaths. Do some block breathing. Go into the app store and find a breathing app that reminds you to breathe every, you know, take deep breaths every hour or so and walks you through that. Whatever it is, you know what's sitting on your mind. You know what's in there. You got to go do it now. Now it's a choice. Now you know, now it's a choice. I am so grateful that you were here today. Thank you for joining me. I hope that this was helpful for you. I guess there's an evaluation in the booklet there. Please send in your evaluations. I work for the Catholic Apostolate Center. I have some gift bags for you all in the back there. We have some really fun goodies in there. This podcast will be on our website at some point. And so feel free to come in, and if there's something you want to listen to again or you want to follow up on again, just kick right on back to it. If you want to share it with somebody, please do so. We also work with campus ministry. Specifically, we work with Empowered Campus Ministry. It's a website that works with campus ministers, and we have some really great webinars and blog posts and great discussions. We have a webinar coming up on December 10th on the Year of Mercy, and how do we bring the Year of Mercy to our campuses? What are some ways that we can do that and make that happen on campuses? So there's some information in the bags. Please grab a bag. I also have a sign up for our newsletter from the Catholic Apostolate Center. We'd love to get you information. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Enjoy some chocolate today. Not the whole cake. Not the whole cake. Not the whole cookie. But enjoy your day. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.